On Mondays, we read from your emails. Our story last week about allegations of fraud in poetry contests on a website called Foetry.com prompted a lot of emails that derided another website called Poetry.com. This site solicits the work of would-be Shakespeares and offers collections of it for sale in book form. Leona Heitch of Bourbon, Missouri, felt the need to stick up for the site, sort of. Poetry.com is okay, she wrote. They don't charge to read or put your poem in their books. You can buy the book if you want for about $40 or $50. They always invite you to fancy things in Orlando or someplace. You don't have to go to the shindigs if you don't want to. You don't have to pay for a book. And they put just about everybody's poems in their books. Believe me, it's stuff from hundreds of very poor to about 20 good poems per book. For $40, I am willing to meet 20 good poets, and the website will forward your letters to the poet of your choice. John Robinson of Ohio was reminded of a poetry scam that existed well before anything.com. About 30 years ago, I saw an ad for a contest sponsored by The World of Poetry, he wrote. I chose one of my poems and entered the contest. A while later, I received a letter saying that I had been named Poet of the Year and inviting me to attend the annual convention in California to receive my award. Well, nothing in the wording of the award letter indicated that anyone else had gotten the award. While I was still trying to decide whether I could afford a trip to California, I went to my hometown to visit my parents. Imagine my surprise when I learned that my father had entered the same contest and that he, too, had been named Poet of the Year. Our program on the Underground Railroad prompted this remembrance from Shara Thompson. My Quaker grandmother, born in 1886, wrote about her father's parents who lived in Greene County, Ohio, and participated in freeing slaves through the Underground Railroad. She wrote, "As children, we listened with wide-eyed attention to the story of driving to one station at night, curtains buttoned tightly on the big carriage, and bringing the slaves to their home, keeping them hidden during the day, preparing food for them, and then continuing the journey at nightfall again to the next station. They called the carriage the Old Emancipator." Also last week, we talked about the 50 top restaurants in the world as compiled by Restaurant Magazine. During that program, callers talked about paying upwards of $500 per person to dine at some of the world's fanciest eateries. Sean Ale gave us a little behind-the-scenes peek at working in an award-winning restaurant. I've worked as a waiter at everything from Denny's to fine dining, he wrote. I never had more fun as when I worked as a waiter at a 4-star dining restaurant in Colorado. The waiter does remarkably little in that environment. I talked with the parties and brought their cocktails. I took the order and let the rest of the staff do the real work. For the most part, my job was to embody the casual ambience of the dining room. At the end of the meal, I got a tip equal to a whole shift at Denny's and for a quarter of the work. If you have tips for us, comments, or questions, our email address is totn@npr.org.